Well, welcome to the Straight Talking Repros Non-League Preview Show tonight. And first of all, I suppose big apologies to Andy Wilkins. I've had a computer situation here, but not sure what's gone wrong. So basically the graphics that he's done such a fantastic job on this week as well, which is a real shame. We just couldn't get it to load in time. So apologies to Andy. So you can see some of the graphics on there were some of the old graphics. So as I say, big apologies to Andy. But first things first, as you can see, it's just me and young Dean tonight. But before we get on to introducing Dean properly, a massive thank you to everybody today for their get well messages for myself. Had a real struggle day today. After 5 years, had a horrific panic attack today, and so struggling with that at the moment. But hey, a little bit tired, but we're here for you, and that's what it's all about. It's not about me, it's about being here for you guys and promoting our wonderful league. And as I said, of course, with me today, he's Dean. So welcome, Dean. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
And of course, unfortunately, one Dean's at Wembley tonight, and the other and Paul, of course, is with the kids tonight. So unfortunately, they're not with us tonight. But if there is anybody out there that is North based in the Bostic League, and they know quite a lot about the Bostic North, then give us a shout, and maybe you want to join us on Paul's off weeks. Paul's going to be coming on maybe once a month or so now, and because of commitments. So if there's anybody out there that wants to come and take Paul's place and basically come along and talk everything Bostic North, then fantastic. That'll be great. But I said before we start going through the games, Dean, I mean, a great week for Kent football, and of course with the semi-final with the Vars, and I think you were there, weren't you?
Yeah, very much so. So we had two of our Step 5 Southern Counties East Football League teams in the FA Vars semi-finals, Cray Valley and Canterbury City. First leg was on Sunday. I went to the game, that was at Cray Valley. Tight game. First half, awful conditions weather-wise. Cray Valley were very much expected to win the game and probably take a nice little lead down to the second leg, but fair play to Canterbury, they were superb, even in the awful conditions. Went in 0-0 at half-time. Second half, Cray Valley improved and nicked a goal. Ryan Flack scored on 55 minutes. But after that, it was pretty much all Canterbury, and they did everything but score. But because they didn't, they're 1-0 down after leg one, and they will play the second leg tomorrow. I'll be down there. It's played at Faversham Town because Canterbury don't have their own ground, so they play there. And it should be a cracker, really. Like I say, Cray were real favourites to win it, but the performance Canterbury put in means this one is far from over. But come tomorrow night, we'll know which of our Kent sides are going to be playing at Wembley, and should be fun.
It's one of those ones for me as well. I mean, I'm looking out. I must admit, I'm actually physically looking out for the Orient result tomorrow as well, because I think, as I've said once before, it's a few days before the dad's birthday, so it'd be a fantastic gift if I can get him a couple of tickets to go and see his beloved Leighton Orient at Wembley. He doesn't get to see him hardly at all now, so it'd be great to see if we can get that chance to take him. But I think that the trophy is going to be interesting as well, but I don't think Telford are out of it yet. Only 1-0 down.
Yeah, I think it's only 1-0, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that one's well alive. And I think the other one in the trophy was 0-0 with Fylde and I think Stockport. So it'd be nice to get two big clubs like Leighton Orient and into the final. Maybe with us it'll be Cray Valley or Canterbury. And then I think the other one is Northridge Victoria. Play their first leg tomorrow against Chertsey. Northridge Victoria used to be a very big club. Although Chertsey are actually the favourites for that game tomorrow.
But, I'd love to see Chertsey do it because of Dave Anderson. So, I mean, that'd be fantastic.
That's it. I listen to his podcast. He talks well. I personally would like to see Chertsey against one of our Kent clubs in the final, yeah.
I mean, it'd be a great day, because I mean, it's going to be some great, you know, whatever happens, especially if Orient get there. I think they'll take quite a crowd as well, won't they? So I think it'd be a great day out as well then for everybody. And it'll be an interesting one with a localish team. Well, local for you, but localish team for us as well to go to Wembley on the day. It'll be a really good day out.
Yeah, that's the plan. It's a celebration of non-league football, and if Orient can be there, then they'll certainly bring the numbers in, and it will be good. Obviously, having a Kent side, me being a Kent football man, and a London side in Leighton Orient. That's the aim.
Absolutely. Well, should we start off with these games then, Dean? I mean, the first one up then is Hayes and Yedding versus Bracknell. It's going to be an interesting game. Hayes and Yedin, though, surely got to be favourites to take this one.
You would imagine so. This is a first league second game in the Bostic Central division, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hayes and Yedin looking like the league is over. They're 14 points clear. Bracknell just having the one game in hand. Hayes and Yedin have won all 14 out of their 15 home games, and strangely, they lost their last one. And the only reason they lost their last one at home is because I predicted they'd win it in my debut prediction for them. They're going to win the league. I've looked at their running. It looks easy enough. I think they'll see this one, win this game, league's all over. So they'll go all out to win it. And I don't see any team stopping them, even the second best team in the league.
But I mean, Bracknell are a very strong side though, aren't they? Very strong, very physical as well. I mean, I've not seen Hayes in yet, but I have seen Bracknell, and they're, you know, very sort of physical side, but also as well, very quick on the break as well.
They're a good team. They're stronger at home. They're unbeaten at home all season. They're obviously finishing very strongly. I think they only lost their last game like 2 weeks ago. It was their only loss in the last sort of 10 or 12 games. So it is two form teams coming together strongly. It's just, I don't see how anyone can stop Hayes and Yedin. They're going to be a great force in the division above, in the Premier, when they come up next year. And I'm sure they're going to have too much for Bracknell. But like you say, Bracknell, good team. I fancy them to probably win the playoffs, but they're not going to win this game.
I mean, that was one of the things I was going to ask you. You know, where do you see Hayes and Yedin once they do go up to the, you know, if it's the Bostic Prem or wherever it may be? I mean, you know, whereabouts do you say they go into the Bostic Prem? I mean, do you see them walking away with that league as well next year, or will people like Cray or some of the bigger sides in there, you know, sort of have their say as well?
Cray will also go up. Cray won't be competing at the top end. They'll just aim to get into the league and stay there. It'll be the final season before they go into their new home. So they'll just aim to stay. Hayes and Yedin, they've got a lot of money, haven't they? He likes investing money, so I don't know if his aim is to quickly go through the division. It's not as easy. It's a big step up. I wouldn't be surprised if they're up there challenging, but I would be surprised if they won the league at the first attempt. Yeah.
Be interesting. I mean, you wouldn't have said that Haringey would have been up there and fighting for it. So I mean, I suppose anything's probably possible.
It's definitely an option. I really do think it will be down to the aims of the chairman and manager. You know, is he going to reinvest further, because he's obviously spent a few quid already? But it, you know, you need to do it again. You need 6-7 more sort of squad players. It's a big step up from 4 to 3. And which league they would go in as well would be interesting. But they'll be in the mix, I would imagine, in whichever step three league they go into.
Do you see him going into the Bostic now, or do you see him going somewhere else?
Mate. I don't know. I don't know. It's all change. I think they just make it up as they go along, so it's hard to predict. I really don't know.
Yeah. What score are you going for in this one then?
Right, so yeah, I am going to go for a Hayes and Yedin win. They're at home. They'll win 3-1.
3-1? Well, I've gone 2-0, and we'll put Paul's scores up later on. I know he has texted them through to me, but I've got a sneaky suspicion maybe a 2-0. But a massive 6-pointer down the bottom, and maybe one that the team that we've adopted, Molesley, will be keeping a very, very close eye on and hoping for an Egham win. But it's Egham against South Park. I mean, it's going to be an interesting one, and I suppose for Molesley's sake, we're hoping that Egham might win this one.
We are hoping that they can win this one, but it is a tight one. Egham looking like they're down because they're so far behind. They might class this as their last roll of the dice. You know, if they can win this, can they perform a miracle? I think they are just too far behind to perform that miracle. You know, 11 points behind, safety's possibly a little bit too much when you've only got 11 points in all 30 games so far this season. Just talking about this game, you know, they're the home side. all 11 points they've got this year have come at home. You know, they've got 0 points away, but them home points did come a fair while ago. You know, they're on a poor run. They're just not winning. They've got a decent run in, Egham. Like, they've only got one of the top eight sides in their running. So, like I say, they might fancy this as their last chance and go all in on it.
Yeah.
And South Park are just pretty awful at the moment. Lost last week 6-1 to a good team, obviously. They've not won for a while. I actually edge with the Egham to nick a win it.
It's one of those things, though, wasn't it, with South Park? They had a really bad start, and then all of a sudden they sort of picked up a little bit, and then it's all of a sudden again they've dropped right off again.
They're too big to be messing about down here. I'm very surprised in them. They got like a decent high profile manager in at the start. That kind of went wrong, like you say. Then they picked up some points. They won this reverse fixture, 2-0. Didn't look like they were going to be down in the dumps, but. Awful run through to 2019, and they're right in it, and they are in big trouble. Mm. And like you say, our Molesley team might be able to get away with this, and it'll be South Park that pay the price if Molesley do.
Mm. It's certainly going to be an interesting one. I mean, from what reports I read, that they gave Chesson quite a good game in the first half, and last week Egham. So you know, that's a team in the playoffs. So you know, why not give South Park a bit of a bow.
I totally agree. That's exactly where my feelings are. I've been looking into it today, and I just find South Park such a poor team at the moment that I even fancy the team below them in the league to turn them over.
Mm. Certainly going to be an interesting one. What do you reckon?
I'm going to go for 2-0 to Egham.
I'm going to go 2-0. And I think I will go, I think 2-1. I think it might be a little bit closer. But I said we're going to the north, and surprise defeat for them last week. But Heybridge Swifts against Greys. Greys seem to be on the up, getting their first win under Jim last week, and Heybridge slipping up. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting one again.
That was a surprising result last week, I thought, for Heybridge. Against Barking, 4-1, wasn't it?
Mm.
Although, give Barking credit, they've invested, even though it looked like they were, or it looks like they're going to go mid-table or higher mid-table, they're not going to get the playoffs, but they've actually been signing players, so I'm glad, you know, give them full credit for actually making a good go of it when there's not a lot to chase for at the end, Barking, but still a surprising result, 4-1, to beat Heybridge, who are still looking like they're going to be certs for the playoffs. You know, they look pretty much done. It's just which position in the playoffs.
Mm.
And that loss has now dropped them to the bottom of the playoffs. And they'd probably want to be in second or third. So they need to bounce back here, get a win. Like you say, Gray's new manager has come in. You know, not lost for a little while now. So should be a good little contest here. I just feel that Heybridge, they need it a bit more. They need the points more. If Greys win, you know, they don't gain much from it. Heybridge do, so I'd be edging with them.
Because there's not much in it now, is there? You know, in that sort of playoff situation there, you know, in the north, it's a case of who's going to finish in what position rather than if, you know, who's going to get in there. So, I mean, the four that are in there, Abley, Coggeshall, Morden, and Heybridge, that, you know, they're the four that are going to be in there. But I suppose it depends on who's going to get those home games in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they need to carry on going to the end for. Like you say, they're in it. They're going to be the four. Which order? You want to be second or third to get a home game? Preferably second. Which way round? It looks to me like Maldon will come second. They've obviously got a few points ahead of the others, all on 61. And looking at the running, I notice Maldon looks like a bit of an easier running, and the other three kind of have similar sort of teams that they play. So every point's going to count if they want to finish higher up. That's why, you know, Heybridge have got to win these sort of games. You know, it might be a decent team they're playing, top half team, but you know, 3 points is all that they can go for.
Yeah, it's going to be, say, the semi-finals and final are going to be very interesting in the north, because I don't think there's much between the teams that are in there. I mean, I suppose defensively, I mean, you look at, I've not seen Heybridge under Julian, but I mean, under Jody, you know, they were okay. But I mean, Morden and Tiptree were, you know, when they came down to Abley, the defence there, as I said on a couple of occasions before, were just outstanding.
Morden are very, we'll probably talk about Morden next, but they're very unlucky to have come across such a good team in Bowers, otherwise like, this could have been Morden's year. But and that's why I do fancy Morden to go on and get second. I just think they're slightly the better team. And that although they're going to come second, they wouldn't be that worried if they had to play away because they're unbeaten away. They got good form, you know, both home and away of Morden. So I think they're going to be the strongest one. And like you say, the others, Abley, Bottleshaw, Heybridge, there's nothing between them, I don't think. It's just going to be who turns up on the day come the semi-finals and final at that one.
Yeah, I think it's going to, as you say, I think it's just going to be a really interesting running. I think definitely going to be an interesting running to see who gets what position. I think it could be telling because, of course, there's a 3G service involved in that as well. So it could be an interesting one to see whether or not, able to get the home advantage in the games to come. But, I mean, Gray's under Jim. I mean, great for him to get a good win last time out and getting his first win. And, you know, he's picked up some good players. He's got some good run going. But I was quite surprised to see him get rid of, I don't know if he got rid of him or if he left of his own accord, but losing Kieran Bishop. And he's gone down to, Walthamstow.
Yeah, and there's another player's left today, gone to Greenwich. So, I mean, some players, they just don't get on with the manager. Maybe it's that, or there's a better opportunity somewhere else, or the manager fancies someone in that position or whatever. You know, whenever a manager comes in, there is movement of players, and that must be what's happened. Like you said, what a good win that was last week. AFC Sudbury can, you know, on their last sort of chances to try and catch up with the playoffs, and Greys have turned them over and ended any hope of that. So he's certainly doing a good job, and he'll be shaping a squad ready to compete next year. It wouldn't surprise me if Greys are up there next year, and he'll be shaping that now so that they can sort of hit it running next season.
It'll certainly be interesting. I think they'll be the team to look out for next year under Jim. I think if you finish above Greys next year, you might win the league next year.
Yeah, I could well agree. That would be my early pick as well.
So what are we going for then? Julian against Jim? I mean, where are we going for the points on Saturday?
We're going for a home win. Mm-hmm. I haven't written it down, that's why I'm writing it down but we're going for 2-1.
Okay, and I'm going to actually go 2-1 the opposite way. So I've just got a sneaky suspicion once Jim's got it on a run. I think he might be off and running, personally. I think that could be the case.
Heybridge need the win.
I just never bet against Mr. Cooper, that's what I say, but we'll see where it goes. Romford against Morden is the other game. I mean, we spoke to Paul on Monday, and he didn't sound to me to be very confident at this present minute in time of actually getting out of it. But I mean, what's your thoughts? Do you think they will get out of it, or is it going to be a bit of a struggle now for them to actually get out of it?
They won't get out of it. It's too much to do. Their running's tricky. I saw your show Monday. I called up to that, and you know, it didn't sound overconfident, like you said. Unfortunately, that's it for Romford. They're going to be gone from this division. I'll say it's a tricky running, and there's not many trickier games than a game at home to a Morden Tiptree team that haven't even lost an away game all season. So this I actually worry for him in this game. I think this could be one of them cricket scores.
Okay. Interesting. As I said to Paul on Monday night, you know, I'll never sort of like believe they're down until they're down. It's just something about them. You just don't feel that they're down, and they've just got something about them. And he seems to pull something out every single year. You know, as you said, could it be this year that they do go? Possibly. But I don't know. I just got this feeling for them that you know, that they still may get out of may get out of trouble.
I know you like them, and you kind of, they sound like they're too big a team and too historically too much to go down. But it's that gap is just too much. It's just too much to catch up. I mean, they're at home, they need to pretty much start winning now, and they can't win this game. I mean, the home form is reasonable. It's what's the home form is actually mid-table kind of form. But most of that came early in the season. And this is just a bridge too far. Firstly, this game and then the season. And I do worry that the hiding that they could get tomorrow, you know, that's the end of it.
But then again, on that side of it then, so for instance, they do pull Rabbit out of the hat and beat Morden, could that be the uplift that they need to go forward and get out of it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and that's what they're going to go into it thinking, isn't it? You know, let's give it one last go. And then if they did perform like the miracle and get a win tomorrow, then they'd use that as building blocks to go on. And that's the way they've got to attack it. They have to go for it. But too tricky a prospect tomorrow to do that, I'm afraid.
You're not confident in that?
Far from it.
So go on then, what cricket score are you going to give me?
I'm going to just keep it low and go 5-1.
To Romford, yeah?
No. 1-5. Right, Romford win, yeah?
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Why not? I'm gonna go 3-1 to Romford. There you go. I'm gonna go right out. Steve's a good friend of mine, so I'm gonna go out there. Paul, I like him as well. So I think this could be the start of the comeback for Romford.
Well, you never know.
We'll sit here next week and it'll be 9-0 or something and I'll look an idiot. But anyway, there we go. Going into the Prem, Folkestone against Worthing. Going to be another cracker. And I see there's the Folkestone chairman this week's come out and said that, I can't think what it was. I know there was some kind of a statement about him pulling the money from Folkestone. Did you see that during the week?
Yeah, I only saw a little bit. I've been quite busy, but I did see something. Which is surprising. Obviously, they've got a long-standing manager, but chairman saying he's going to pull the money. They're still in with a shout this year, so it sounded like a strange statement to make to me, and not very inspiring. But you know, that's certainly what he said. Like I say, they've still got an outside chance of nicking into these playoffs. So why would you give up this early?
I think it was
tough game tomorrow.
I don't know, I might be getting muddled up with, was it Herne Bay or somebody like that as well, where they were also talking about social media influences or something.
Yeah,
I read
that, that was Herne Bay. Yeah. That's another long story of craziness and the team reacting to social media posts.
Yeah.
which was madness.
Yeah.
But they're neighbours of Folkestone and share lots of players and stuff. But going on to tomorrow's game, this looks like a kind of a 50-50 game, because obviously Worthing are slightly higher in the table, but Folkestone's home form is unreal. Folkestone have won 13 out of 14 of their home games, and the only home game they didn't win was a crazy 2-2 draw with Wingate and Finchley, where 4 goals were scored in the last minute. Other than that, they've won all their home games. Their away form stopped them from getting in the playoffs, and it's Worthing that are just about in them in the playoffs. They're on a decent run, Worthing. However, what I have noticed is that the wins that they have got in this decent run, like they're unbeaten in 8 with 4 wins, 4 draws, but the 4 wins have been against teams lower than 16th. Can you count them? You know. They're not beating the top teams, and Folkestone's a top team, so a bit of a tough one to call this one for sure.
Well, they've got a very young side as well, though, haven't they? You know, coming in there, so they've got, I suppose they're getting more and more experience as every week goes by. But I mean, Worthing were one of those ones after last year. I think that quite a lot of people expected to be quite high up in the league.
Yeah, they're a decent team. They could well do it. They could well get stay. They're in the playoffs now. They could stay in there. But there is a core of like 4 or 5 teams that want their place. So they can't lose any ground. You know, they need to be taking 4 out of 6 points at least, you know, every 2 games until the end now, because they're the ones that are bottom of the playoffs. And like I say, there's 4 or 5 just on their shoulder trying to sneak in.
It's going to be an interesting one. I mean, people always say you don't want to go to Folkestone, because if you go to Folkestone and have a little bit of an off day, you end up getting absolutely annihilated. So do you see it being a big score tomorrow, or do you see it being really close?
No, I see it being really close. No one likes to go to Folkestone. I mean, you think they're right on the tip, you know, of the country, basically. I know it might be nearer for me, but for some of these clubs, it's a long journey. And I think that plays a little bit into their advantage, that, you know, people do, you know, 3/4 of the teams that play them have got such a long journey there, and nobody fancies it, and, you know, probably two players pull out and everything. So all of that helps, but also, you know, they've got an experienced manager who's managed to kind of build the fortress there, and their home form is what's seeing them through. I do see it tight. Prediction-wise, shall I go for that?
Yeah, go on, mate. What do you think?
I'm gonna go for 1-0,
Folkestone 1-0. Folkestone to 1-0. Yeah. I fancy a 2-1 Folkestone myself. In that one, so I think there might be both teams will get a goal. But where do you go after last week? You know, Wingate and Finchley versus Potters Bar. I mean, that result last week against Harlow was just. Was just incredible. And I mean, on that sort of side of it, I mean, are you worried now for Harlow? I mean, is there any way back after a defeat like that? And they go to Mersham as well tomorrow. I mean, again, you know, Mersham are, you know, another good side up there in the up towards the playoffs as well. And I mean, it's going to be another tricky tie for Harlow tomorrow.
It certainly is. It is tight down there, as in that there's, I suppose, 3 teams. If you're counting Burgess Hill as gone, then there's 3 teams, and only one of them will be safe. But that defeat would have really, really damaged them last week, especially the size of it. And like you say, they've got a tough game tomorrow. I've looked at their running, and it is tough as well. Mm. It's the toughest out of like 4 sides down the bottom, in my view. So after the damage they got last week, you know, I fear for them. I think that'll be them gone, basically. Mm.
A lot of unrest with the Loyal fans as well in that in the club as well. I see another couple of posts from Jake and a few of the others. Some of them are now going to be staying away. I mean, it's you know, you don't need that, do you?
You don't need that. They know the club better. I can't really advise them on what, but that last week's defeat to a relegation rival, that they would have been up for that game really big time. You know, proper 6-pointer, win it and move out of the bottom 3, and then they go and get spanked like that. It's not good. I mean, you do have to fear for them. They're gone.
Yeah.
they're pretty much gone. I looked at their running and it's too tricky.
So on the other side of it, I mean, what a boost that is for Wingate.
What a massive boost. That really puts them into it. You know, before that, because I was kind of thinking that maybe Harlow would get that one, but after that, you know, what an inspiration now to go on and you know, get a win like in this game that they've got coming up now, and move out of the bottom 3 and get survival. It's the perfect result, and they'll be buzzing after that, absolutely buzzing. I bet that changing room was, you know, was flying, and they wouldn't have had many good moments all season, so they would have celebrated that one well.
Yeah.
Like I say, they've only had 2 wins in 2019, that one and one at Kingstonian, and everyone's beating them at the moment. Maybe they'll get their 3rd tomorrow. It's an option. Potters Bar are not too far above them, possibly. Be thinking that they're safe, and we'll see this one as the final win to keep them safe. But if Wingate can turn them over, then Potters Bar are in the mix as well, aren't they?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Potters Bar again going up there. I mean, from what I've been told, good footballing team. So I mean, they're going to go up there and play on a you know, pristine surface as well, Potters Bar. And you know, they had such a really good start to the season. And I think what people forget is that, you know, they're not you know, one of the big clubs, are they, in that you know, in that league? And so for them to be sort of, you know, still hanging around in there, sort of like in the lower reaches now, but they had a really good start, and I suppose it must be thankful that they did get that good start because of where they find themselves now.
Yeah, it is. They got that good start. What I did notice from their losses, they've been so tight. They've lost their last two matches 1-0, and their previous loss was also a 1-0 loss. Mm. So they're not getting so much. Like, they're not getting spanked so much. Like I say, this they'll really see this as the one that could get them to safety. I know they beat them 4-0 back in November, so they'll remember that, and they'll be up for getting that final win to move to safety.
Mm. Well, I'm just looking, changing the subject just a bit, I'm just looking over the top of my computer screen, and I did hear that there was supposed to be loads and loads of, you know, supposed to be a full house tonight at Wembley tonight, and well, it looks three quarters empty to me, and it's only 9 minutes supposedly till kickoff. So, I mean, they better start getting the seats quick.
Yeah, I can see it as well. It does look like a lot of red there. Is Dean there? Can you see him?
No, I can't see him anywhere. He's probably in the bar.
Prawn sandwiches he's having in the hotel. Yeah, talking of poor gates and linking it back, Wingate, eventually they got the worst home attendance out of everyone in the league. You know, yeah. They're struggling. I think they've got like 150 or something home fans or something like that. So, you know, there's not enough getting behind them. So maybe, you know, can they justify their place in our Premier Division?
Mm.
Maybe this is their time to go. Mm.
It's going to be tough for them. I think Dean would probably go for a Wingate win, but where are you going?
I am going to go for Potter's Bar, I'm afraid. And I'm going to go 3-1 Potter's Bar.
Yeah, I had 2-1 written down here to Potter's Bar, but we'll probably be proven completely wrong, and Wingate will be on a massive high and win 7-2 again.
My predictions are awful on this show, I'll tell you.
So going into the one, the team that I fear for the most, and really do hope that you know that it's not the case, but with big money spending Greenwich Borough right underneath them, I'm getting a little bit concerned for them this year. Guernsey against Faversham tomorrow, and of course it'll be the early kickoff. But is it Guernsey going to be saying goodbye to the Bostic League this year?
It's such a big thing if Guernsey go, because they, like, with Greenwich, they'll just move to the sort of Step 5 Kent League. It's quite simple, and I'll still see them because I do a lot of work there. But with Guernsey, you know. Are they either just going to give up, or are they going to move to the Step 5, you know, whatever league, combined counties leagues, or wherever they'll end up? You know, they're the ones that will lose the most if they get relegated, and they're proper in the mix. They're in trouble. Their home form has let them down this year. In years gone by, it's been what saved them, and the away form has been worse. But their home form's let them down. Just 10 points. They're up against Faversham tomorrow. We're also down there. That's why we pick this game, because it's 18th versus 17th. Fortunately for both teams, they're only competing kind of for one drop, one place in the drop zone because of what happened with Thamesmead. Faversham are only, what, 3 points ahead of them, and Guernsey do have a game in hand. So if Guernsey can turn them over, draw level on points and have the game in hand, they'll fancy... you know, staying away from Greenwich or further back than that. If I've looked at the run-ins, as I keep saying, but Greenwich probably have the hardest run-in of the lot, which is lucky for Guernsey and Faversham. And they're obviously 3 and 6 points behind them already, so they're playing catch-up. So where I know Keith's been confident because we know the manager and he's made some great signings and he's got another player in today, but a lot of catching up to manage to do, and I think I've resigned myself today to the fact that they might not get out of the bottom two and they'll go down.
Mm.
But if they do pull on a run, it's these two teams that are playing tomorrow that need to get the win.
Mm. Would a Herne Bay situation come into effect though?
Say that again, mister.
Would Herne Bay, if the guy does decide to pull everything out of Herne Bay, would that cause... You know, could that save either Guernsey, Faversham, or Greenwich?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Herne Bay, they sold their top striker, or he left them and went to Maidstone. But step one and scored already, Jake Embry, and his dad runs, daddy's manager of Herne Bay. But it's the off-the-field stuff at Herne Bay which has just been crazy, and it's dragging, not helping the manager's case, you know. And they are, you know, the next team, they're in 16th, they're the next ones that should Guernsey and Faversham and Greenwich do put a little run on. It's Herne Bay that are next to get sucked in. Mm. I've seen them all, and I suppose I thought the least of Herne Bay out of them all, and that was even when they had a good striker who's now gone. So they could easily get sucked into it. However, like I was saying, looking at the run-ins, Greenwich looks to be the tougher one of the lot. And although I don't want to admit it, I feel it's going to be them that's going to go.
No, I was quite surprised you saying that, because I thought they would, you know, it's all I looked at it with Steve Salas and Steve Boyle in there, and some of the players that they're actually bringing in there, and it's almost a case of looking at it, you know, not knowing what's going on from the outside. But you look at that just to say, I think they're going to be safe. You know, they'll probably end up sort of third or fourth from bottom in the end because of the power that they're bringing in into the team.
Yeah, I think they'll pick up points, but like I say, they're 3 points behind Guernsey now, and played a game more. So if Guernsey were to win tomorrow, they're still 3 points and a game, you know, and you know, they play 2 games less. You know, they're only playing, 36 games this year? So after tomorrow, there's only 5 games left, you know. So it is tricky. They need to pretty much win, including tomorrow's game, 6 games left. They probably need to win four out of them six to be safe. So that's a tough ask.
That's another interesting fact that you just brought up there about a moment, because 2 less games to play because of Thamesmead. But there might be... There might be teams going into the playoffs that might have a week off or 2 weeks off before they actually get into the playoffs because of the Thamesmead effect.
Yeah, absolutely. If they were drawn to play Thamesmead, you know, at that time, then that's either misfortune or fortune if you've got injured players and you can rest them or whatever. Mm. What can you do? It was not very good. No one was a winner. Unless you're the former chairman, that's another story. The Thamesmead thing is heavily affected this division. There weren't enough games anyway. I know Keith and all the managers that I know were moaning about it's just Saturday, Saturday, Saturday. Mm. Well, now for some teams, sometimes it's Saturday and then you play Thamesmead, which is no game, and you've got 2 weeks without a game. So that's even worse. And the amount of friendlies I keep seeing people asking for is crazy. So. The changing down to 20 teams and then losing one has really affected the South East division this year.
But do you not think that's made, neither of us being managers in the Bostic League, but I mean, do you see that as being a bit of a farce this year to the fact that, you know, last year and years previous, all the managers were moaning too many games, too many games, too many games, too many games. They cut it down by, 2 teams or whatever it is in these, you know, steps sort of, 4 divisions, and now everybody's going, not enough games, not enough games, not enough games. I mean, where did the FA go with it? You know, it's either one thing or the other, isn't it? You know, they just don't seem to be a level playing field straight down the middle. You either got no games or too many.
You're right, and I think, as not being a manager, it doesn't necessarily bother me too much, but all the managers that I know are all moaning about it. Mm. So it must be a problem. Especially if you're out of the cups. But like you think back to last year when you had teams like Heybridge Swifts that have gone through all the cups, they had too many games at this time of year to fit in. So they would have been begging for the less games last year. But teams that are out of all the cups, which is most of them now, are just bored and just playing Saturday, Saturday, Saturday. And like I say, with Thamesmead, they might not even be playing on a Saturday. So.
But would it not have been a clever idea for them to, you know, to sort of like put their heads together with the county FAs and also with the leagues as well, and said, look, we've got all the FA Cup games, we've got the FA Trophy games, let's start, say, like the county cups a month, 2 months later than what you'd normally do them, put your league cups after January or whatever else, and that way round, one, you know, especially when you get to say like the League Cup and maybe even stuff like the Essex Cup, Kent Cup, people would actually put out full strength sides in that rather than playing the reserves, the under-18s and all the rest of it, and almost throwing away the competition to the bigger boys. And even the bigger boys, especially in the Essex League Cup, you know, likes of Dagenham, Redbridge, Southend, all these type of people, you know, just playing their reserves and their under-18s anyway. But if you put it maybe later in the season, you might get a stronger competition.
Yeah, I mean, they should have. These people in charge, they just, you know, make up rules without talking to people that are involved. You know, there should surely be, you know, a group of experienced managers on these sort of decision-making committees that are asked their opinion on stuff. And I'm sure quite early they would have brought up that there'll be a lack of games coming on towards the end of the season. I actually remember back to the start of the season, people were moaning about it back then. So it is an issue. What can you do? Some people know best, don't they?
Yep, absolutely. So where are we going to go with this game in Guernsey and Faversham?
Guernsey and Faversham. So, like I say, it's the early kick-off. Faversham are flying over. They're a poor team away. Guernsey are a bad team at home. It's going to be an awful game. And it's going to be 3-2 to Guernsey.
Wow, OK. I've gone for a 1-1 draw. So going into our star game of the week then, and of course it's Horsham against Ashford. This one looks like it could be a right humdinger of a game.
This is going to be a cracker. This is second v third. I mean, Horsham have lost out on the chance to catch Cray. Cray are too far ahead, and Cray beat them recently, and that finished any dreams of that. So Horsham's aim now is just to finish second. They play on one of them nice surfaces that we all love, and they'll want to be using that in the playoffs. They're a decent team. They're one of them teams that haven't got any sort of star players, but they're so well organised and play decent football as well. I quite like them. They're obviously on a good run, with their only loss being to Cray recently, and everyone loses to them. So they're going to be, like I say, wanting to confirm their second position, and Ashford are the main danger to that, as they're one place behind. Ashford are one of my favourite teams in this division. They have got star players. Tommy Rollo makes them play well. You know, he's obviously a top manager at this level and above. But he's got them playing well. And he's changed the team a little bit since the previous days of Gary Alexander. A few people have gone and a few have come in, and he's brought some in recently. Jake McIntyre's come in from VCD. He's replaced Tom Carl, who went up to Cray, and Laura Mendy's come in from Whiteleaf, who's a player I like a lot. So that's strengthened, and I think they've got possibly one of the best player, if not the best player in the league, in Sam Corn, running their midfield, scoring bundles of goals, box to box, proper sort of Frank Lampard type player. Excellent. I've known him since he was Welling United, and you know, he should be playing, you know, step two again, but possibly at step three next year with Ashford. And up front, they've got Danny Parrish scoring the goals. They've got him in from Thamesmead. He followed Warlow. And he's attracting a bit of attention. And it'll be tough to keep hold of him, I would say, unless they go up. He might move on. This is a 50-51, you know. I don't, even at this second, I wouldn't know really which way to sway to go on it. Do you know anything about him at all?
No, not at all. I must have been, other than when, you know, Gary was there, and you knew they were, you know, a decent side when Gary was there. And I suppose the only thing with Ashford, I suppose it's been a bit of an up and down season for them, isn't it, with the change in managers as well. And I'd be very interested to see where they would have been if Gary was still there. Do you think they'd be higher or pushing a bit further, or do you think Tommy's sort of taking them on to the next level?
The spell at the start of the season, they went on like a 10 game sort of losing run, or 10 games without winning, and then. Strangely, they then put in a 3 or 4 wins on the spot, and then he got the dreaded text message. But I think they would have still been second or third had Gary stayed there, for sure. But then you could say, well, what if Warrilow had been there from the start? You know, would they have been challenging Cray? You don't know. But Ashford are a huge in Kent kind of football. They're huge, like, as in their support is massive. they definitely could represent Kent at the next level up. They could, like, financially, that, you know, with that big crowd, they could possibly do it. It's a 3G battle, this one. Mm-hmm. Both teams playing on it. I'd say it's probably 50-50, 51. What is important for me is when you look at the games to come, although both these teams are safe for the playoffs, playoffs in the Bostic Southeast are pretty much settled. Like we were saying earlier on, it's about trying to get second or third and get home advantage for the semi-finals. And Ashford have got a nightmare running. They've got all the teams around them. I think they've got seven games to go, including this one, and six of them are against top seven, like the other top seven. Mm. With the other one being against Guernsey, who are battling battling at relegation zone. So they've got a tough run in. So they need to try and win these points if they want to come second or third and get home advantage.
But would that be a bonus for them, though, if they go in against, you know, all the tough sides around them? They'll be sort of like, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, sort of almost sort of physically and mentally on it anyway, going into those playoff games, rather than playing, say, teams at the bottom and you're knocking them over by fours and fives. Would they be better prepared going into the playoffs if they're playing teams that are as strong as them, or, you know, level with them?
Yeah, for sure, if they win them. I suppose then, like, they've got more. But when I was looking at the runnings, if I was a manager, I'd be thinking more. I'd like to be playing a team sort of 10th to 15th, mm-hmm. you know, that have got nothing to play for. They're not going to get relegated. They're probably looking at cutting their budget and planning for next season and that sort of stuff, rather than playing the team that's sort of 17th, 18th and desperate to get out of it. I'd be wanting to play sort of the lower mid-table teams, and Ashford haven't got any of them, and all the other. Like Horsham's is what I call a simple run in. It is playing all the big table teams afterwards. And Hastings and Hazelteeth have also got decent run in. So every game's going to be a battle for Ashford. But like I say, luckily they've got enough points, so their playoff space isn't a problem. But yeah, I agree with you. If they can get the wins against these top teams, it's going to inspire them again to go through the playoffs. Mm. I fancy Ashford to just sneak in the playoffs, like to come bottom of the playoffs, but then to go on and win them. That's my strange sort of way I've been looking at it when I've been studying like the division that I like the most. I think like Horsham will come second, and probably Hastings third, Hazelteeth fourth, and then Ashford fifth. But then I fancy Ashford to do all
that. So no one's going to sneak in there. I mean, do you think? Keeps at it after a dismal refereeing performance in midweek. Do you think that sort of killed him?
So I don't know about the refereeing performance, but it absolutely that's him done. So the two teams that come next in the table are Hive and VCD, and Hive have already given up. You know, they've cut their budget, moved some high earners on. Players have gone to Ramsgate, and Jack Samut has gone back to Greenwich. Mm-hmm. They brought a couple of sort of younger players in just to see out the season, but they've given up. And VCD had a chance, but whatever went on against Whitstable in midweek, you know, getting two players sent off in the same minute, you know, I see Keith weren't too happy about it, but that's the end of his hopes, I'm afraid. The gap's too big, and
Aaron Heathfield's just coming to you. What do you think the result will be for Sittingbourne and Hive?
Sittingbourne are doing well. Although their position is low, you know, they've got a new manager in, and he's young, and he's brought a lot of youngsters in. Hive are certainly on paper a lot stronger. You look at the names that are on their sheet, and it's quite impressive. They should have been up there this year, Hive. They've right messed up. They spent a lot of money, and it's gone wrong. And built pretty much a dream team, and at the start of the season I predicted them to win it, and they let me down. So although current form would suggest that Sittingbourne will get something out of it, I still think Hive have got enough. They've got the division's top scorer in Zach Anser. I know the goalkeeper's still out, but they've got plenty of match winners around their squad still, even though they've got rid of a couple of the others. They've got enough to beat
Sittingbourne. Well, Aaron says totally agree. Horsham Ashford, then, what do you think the score will be?
Horsham Ashford, No, it's a Horsham Astrid. Right, 50-50, and it's going to be 2-2.
Ah, I've gone 2-1 Horsham. So if we have just a quick look through in the last sort of 5-10 minutes, just to have a quick look through, see who's playing who at the weekend. We've got Hornchurch against Bishop Stortford, Bognor Regis against Leatherhead, Burgess Hill Town versus Margate, Carr Shorten versus Brighton City Regent. Another team that I saw, unless they get investments, going to be cutting the cutting the budget
as
well.
I see that. Yeah. Mm. It's happening too often, isn't it?
Yeah, Carr Shorten though. Do you see Carr Shorten being one of those teams that will sneak in there and could be a major danger?
Do you know what? We didn't talk about it, but 100% yes. Mm. So with the Premier playoffs, they're quite interesting because that's probably the closest playoffs that we look at, you know, across the Bostics. And I see the team that I fear that could drop out of it is Worthing. Mm-hmm. They're just in there at the moment, but they got tough games to play. Lots of teams in and around them. And I actually... My thoughts on it is a few. Firstly, I fancy Bognor to put in a late charge. They've got a lot of injuries and they're having to replace them, but they've got a decent few games to play. And I think I fancy them to real put some pressure on, even with all their injuries they've got. Mm. But the team that I fancy to nick Worthing's place is Carl Shorten. Mm. Great win in last time out, and I fancy him to get in there.
Well, I'll throw a name in the hat then, which we spoke about on Monday as well. I think the last time I looked, there were 9 points off the playoffs after possibly being, you know, chances of being relegated only sort of 3 or 4 weeks ago. Margate, are they, you know, they've got enough. I mean, they've got, you know, Burgess Hill Town, it's, you know, it should realistically on paper be a stonewall 3 points. You know, Jay Saunders has really got a motor in. So, I mean, is there that chance that they could sneak in there?
It's too much to do now for me, but what a job he has done in there. Oh, my days. I couldn't believe it when he went there. It sounded too good to be true. And what a job. They was in trouble, and he's turned it right round. Shows you what, you know, what a good manager with good contacts can do. And, you know, had he got there a month earlier, you know, they would be knocking on the door. Mm. I'm over the moon because I like Margate and I like Jay, so that's real good. For me, I don't think they're going to get any higher. But next season, what does he do? Does he take a bigger job? Does he move up? Because I'm sure he'll get offers at step one, step two. Does he do that, or does he go with a Margate project and try and drag them through? That's a big question for him. I know they'll be wanting him to stay and everything and offering him it, but you know, he's going to have some bigger clubs knocking on his door and ringing on his phone for sure. Mm.
Well, we've got Crimpfield Casuals versus Dorking Wanderers. We've got Haringey Borough versus Enfield Town, local derby. And that's another, you know, sort of humdinger. Sort of Enfield sort of flattering to deceive, still sticking outside the playoffs. So, again, that could be an interesting one. Lewis versus Kingstonian. Mersham, as we said, take on Harlow. Whitehawk take on Tonbridge Angels in the Prem. In the North, it's Sudbury versus Witham. And as we speak, Dereham Town, who are on some run, they're playing tonight against Bury Town, they're winning 1-0. Averley against Mildenhall Town, Bowes and Pitsey versus Barking, Coggeshall Town versus Basildon United, Felixstowe Wharton versus Brentwood Town, Heybridge Swifts versus Grays Athletic, as we've said, Soham Town take on Canvey Island, Tilbury versus Great Wakering Rovers. I mean, Soham against Canvey, I mean, you look at that and go, it's got to be a Canvey win. But Soham are in good form. Canvey are in awful form at the moment. They cannot win a game, can they?
They can't buy a win. You think that Canvey should go and win that. But like you say, the form, you know, you might not be that surprised if they turn them over.
Mm, yeah. Going into the central then, it's Ashford Town, Middlesex versus Uxbridge, Bedfont Sports versus Westfield, Shelf on St Peter versus Northwood, Chipstead versus Ware, FC Romania versus Waltham Abbey, Hanwell Town versus Molesley. Come on, the Molesley. Hartford Town with their new management team. They take on Marlow, and Tooting and Mitcham versus Chesson. Surprised to see Mr Fisher go?
Yeah, and they brought in loads of players today as well.
Yeah.
I think they brought in seven players today, and they've already played 68 players this season. Crazy
stuff. And in the East Division, it's Cray Wanderers versus Haywards Heath. It's Ramsgate versus Phoenix Sports. And, of course, Ramsgate manager, they're signing a new contract. But that'll be very interesting. We've, of course, the board members of Thamesmead in that Phoenix ballroom now. They're taking on Ramsgate. Seven Oaks Town versus Greenwich Borough. Sittingbourne versus Hive. Three Bridges versus Hastings United. We spoke about that on Monday night as well. Could Three Bridges be the team that get relegated?
Yeah, their running's okay. I think they'll pick up points. They're not the best team, but they're just far enough away. And again, because it's only kind of one going down, and Greenwich are a distance away, I think Three Bridges are just gonna get away with it this year.
Mm. And then we've got Whiteleaf taking on Winstable Town. In that one, I've just seen some news come down. It says two in, two out for Hastings. looking at this trap, just trying to see. I've just literally just updated it again, so I can't see it. But we'll have a look at it in a minute. They've just signed two new players. Greenwich Borough, as we said, had signed as well. It says the club is delighted to announce the return of Gillingham FC player Jack Tucker on loan for the remainder of the season. Joining Jack will be Bradley Stevenson, also on loan from Gillingham FC for the rest of the season. Two good signings?
Yeah, I like the second one. Well, they're going for it then, aren't they? Everything I've said in the last hour, let's change. Some of these teams are literally just throwing everything at it. You know, they don't want to go down, or they want to go up if they're at the top end. And it's their last throw of the dice before the window shuts, and get enough points and get up or stay up, whichever their idea is to do.
This is if you're a season ticket holder of the Premier League or EFL club, you get the concession entry price in particular, maybe some Tottenham supporters who also follow Chessant. That's just been posted for the Chessant game against Tooting and Mitcham at the weekend at Imbrium Fields. So that's another interesting one. But what game are you at the weekend? And then you're going to be at the Vars, eh?
Yeah, so I'm at Faversham to watch Canterbury play in the Vars against Cray Valley. It should be a cracker. Expecting around about 1,000 people there. We had 663 at Cray Valley, which broke their home record. And we're going to try and do the same for Canterbury. So I'm going down there early, and I'm like the media man for that league. So I try and give it a bit of promotion and build up via their media sites and social media and all that. So it should be a good fun. And then by 5 or 6 o'clock, I'll know which of our teams is going to be at Wembley. It should be fun.
And which one's it going to be?
It's tricky, you know. I spent all Monday night with both managers. We was on Radio Kent, and you know, they're such nice people. Once you get connected to them, you don't want to see one of them lose. So it's real tricky. But, you know, Cray have got a 1-0 lead. They've won 13 out of 15 games away from home. It's going to be Cray, I'm afraid.
And which one of the two teams is it that Lisby plays for?
Cray Valley.
Right, okay.
Yeah, he's the man. Although Canterbury kept him quiet the other night. His family weren't quiet. I was standing next to him. They're crazy. But He didn't have a sniff. Mm. Absolutely nothing. He's up front with Gavin Tomlin, who's been around non-league for a while, and he was a bit busier, but Canterbury was superb. If they do it again, Canterbury could do it. It's just on it, like the Cray Valley pitch, they share it with Greenwich Borough, and it is awful, whereas the Faversham pitch is nice, and the feeling is that it will suit Cray Valley better, and they might, because they play proper good football and use wings and stuff. So the feeling is that, especially because they only need a draw as well, that they'll probably do just enough.
I'm surprised as well, both teams in that FA Cup, you know, FA Vars so far, and neither got their own ground.
And that amazing?
Yeah.
at least kind of Cray Valley have kind of got half their own ground, if you like. You know, that's a bit more of a long-term sort of situation they got, whereas Canterbury are like homeless. And, you know, last year they was playing with Dilltown, this year they're playing with Faversham. You know, they want to get their own ground. The council's letting them down, but hopefully this long cup run, especially if it ends up at this big stadium on the telly now, that's going to be enough for the council to say, come home, you know, here's the 20 million we stole from you when we sold your ground a while back, and let's have a nice new shiny ground.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dean, the time's flown by. A massive thank you for being with us tonight. And of course, as we said at the beginning of the show, if you're a North expert, then why not give us a shout and see if you want to come on and fill in for Paul on the weeks that he's not available. That'd be fantastic if you want to come on. So if Jason Collin or anybody like that wants to come on the show, by all means do. Me and Keith will be back on Monday night for the Straight Talking show. So we'll be back on Monday night for that. More people, of course, for My Life in Football. Of course, you've seen Justin Gardner last week. Looking to see if anybody that's got any suggestions out there that you might want to listen to and might want to hear, then why not give us a shout. But until then, hope you enjoyed the show tonight and hope you have a great weekend with football. Good night.